10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
All right, good afternoon. Everyone may be seated. All right, Ms. Mirage, is the defense ready to proceed with its closing? All right, you may go ahead and bring the jurors in. And Ms. Murad, when you're at the podium, make sure you use the mic if you walk away because it's a recording issue. I keep getting notes from recording that they can't hear you. Not you, but it was Ms. Coakley that was violating the rule. I'm going to make a suggestion for the clip-on mics. I don't know why we don't have them. That would solve it. Yeah. All right, all rise.
Jurors entering.
All right, everyone may be seated. Ms. Murad, is the defense ready to make its closing?
Yes.
All right, you may proceed.
There is not one moment that I want you to think that this defense is about whether or not Ronan deserved the treatment that he got, because it is not. Or that the fact that he is vulnerable or had medical issues from early childhood is justification for what happened, because it is not. However, we are in a criminal courtroom. And what you have to determine is whether an act, a horrible act of parenting, a bad act of parenting, bad choices amount to a crime. And in this case, they do not. I told you at the beginning of this trial that Tim Ferriter had to make tough choices based on the experience that he had had with his son, Ronan. And I'll talk about that more in detail. But what I want to start with is sort of the bedrock of any criminal case, which is an understanding of what reasonable doubt is. There is an instruction that you will receive, and we'll talk about that later on in my closing argument.
approach. My objection's overruled. You may proceed. And that's without prejudice to the state to address it in rebuttal.
So there's different ways to understand reasonable doubt. And I think that a helpful way to understand it is in terms of sort of the other standards that we have. So at the bottom here, you see reasonable suspicion. And that is like a super low standard. That's why it's on the bottom. So that is the standard that a police officer has to have just to sort of stop you on the street.
Sustained.
When we talk about reasonable doubt, it is in reference, right, to all the other standards, because beyond a reasonable doubt is the highest burden in our justice system. Normally, when we talk about a criminal case, it's different than, for example, a civil case, where you are deciding whether or not something is done by the preponderance of the evidence. That's about 51%. The next level up from that is clear and convincing evidence. And that's the standard required for the government to take your children away.
All right, I'm going to instruct the jury that the court will provide and has provided you with the instruction on what reasonable doubt is. Attorneys can comment on the law that the court has provided, but anything else other than what the court has provided on the law, the attorneys cannot address, and you're to disregard that. So with that instruction, Ms. Murad, you may continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. Clear and convincing evidence is the standard by which the government can take your children away from you. And then higher than that, you have beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the highest burden in our justice system. And this distinction is important because when we talk about bad parenting or someone that shouldn't have their kids, there's a standard for that in the legal system. There's a system in place for that. What you are being asked to do is determine if something is a crime, if it rises to the level of reasonable doubt, such that a person whose liberty and freedom is at stake, as it is in any criminal case, should be found guilty of a crime. You are not being asked whether you condone of Tim Ferriter's actions. I put up an expert, Sheila Rappa, who says she does not condone of Tim Ferriter's actions. And I didn't do that not knowing what she was going to say. This case is about a different sort of location and time than what the state's talking about. There is no dispute that what Tim Ferriter did caused harm to Ronan Ferriter. My own expert got up and told you that. The question before you is whether or not that was done with the appropriate intent to be considered a crime, whether or not those elements that the state mentioned are met. And so I want to talk about those in specific. Let's start with this. What are we actually on trial here for? The state mentioned a instruction towards the end of their closing argument regarding the things that happened in Arizona. And of course, the defense brought some of that in. It offers context. But the decision that you are making is whether or not Tim Ferriter committed a crime during about the six-week period that he lived in Jupiter, Florida, between January 5th to January 28th. That's when the video goes up in the room. They move in a little bit before Christmas. That is what you are being asked to do. If you believe that Tim Ferriter committed a crime in Arizona based on the testimony, but you do not believe that the state has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that he did so in Florida, you must find him not guilty. I don't normally do this, but this is a lengthy closing, so I want to make sure that we talk about all the different sort of reasons why Tim is not guilty. I'm going to talk about these all in turn. They apply to different instructions. So rather than taking you through instruction to instruction, I want to focus on the reason for it being not guilty and the instruction that it applies to. So we'll go through these one by one. I first want to start by talking about sort of two ways that you can find Tim not guilty that are pretty related. First, he did not have criminal intent. This applies to every charge, right? Because criminal intent is something that is unique to a crime, as opposed to something in a civil case like negligent intent or something along those lines. Even if you find that the state has proven every element, including that criminal intent element, as to child abuse and aggravated child abuse, you can still find him not guilty because of the parental affirmative defense. Now, the way that that reads is that it is not a crime for a parent of a child to impose reasonable physical discipline on a child for misbehavior under the circumstances, even though physical injury resulted from it. And this is the important part. If you find that the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was not a parent, that's not an issue here, or if you find that the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant's physical discipline was not reasonable under the circumstances, you should find him guilty if all the elements of the charge have been proven beyond a reasonable doubt. This is a little hard to understand, but this is a two-step process. First, the state has to prove every element of that aggravated child abuse or child abuse beyond a reasonable doubt. And then the second bit is they have to disprove this affirmative defense beyond a reasonable doubt. It is not the burden of the defense to prove to you that it was reasonable. It is the burden of the state to disprove to you that it was not. This trial is not about Ronan's diagnosis, but I understand that it's been something that we've talked about a great deal throughout the course of this case. It is, however, essential to understanding the sort of persistent behavior that Tim Ferriter experienced. And it allows you to understand how difficult it was for Tim Ferriter with Ronan's sort of ongoing behaviors. And I want to start with sort of the thing that's based most in science, which is Dr. Rapa talking about a neuropsychological exam. So that neuropsychological exam, as Dr. Rapa testified to, has multiple parts. And this is testing that the psychological and psychiatric community relies on routinely. And it allows us to have data about a person to explain how they are the way they are and why they are the way they are. This neuropsychological testing has multiple parts, and it includes something from Ronan himself and from an adult parent. Dr. Rapa explained that. And in this particular testing, there was no reason to believe that there were any sort of validity issues with the information that she received. She also said that even though the testing was from just a couple months after January 28th, that doesn't matter because it still is a test of executive functioning. What that testing revealed is that Ronan has clinically elevated levels as it relates to inhibition and emotional regulation. And what Dr. Rapa told us is that that means it explains this sort of persistent behavior that's not stopping, that becomes explosive. When Ronan has when Ronan feels angry or has sort of a strong emotional reaction, he's not able to control that in the way another person might be. He also has a lack of inhibition, and that's why when he has consequences, that's not something that he's entirely understanding. She said that it's very hard for someone who tested like Ronan did to be in control of themselves, and they have a lack of insight into their own behaviors. She also explained that this testing, right, goes back to early childhood, and that's not really in dispute. The state's own expert, Dr. Wade Meyer, said that he believes Ronan has probably an attachment type of disorder from the time that he lived in an orphanage. Again, there's no dispute that the Ferriter's actions exacerbated that, right? Dr. Rapa told us that. That's something that the defense is completely conceding. But both Wade Myers and Dr. Rapa say that this is something the Ferreters did not cause. It is from very early childhood neglect. And what we see and what the key is, and Dr. Rapa talked about this, Wade Myers had to concede to it, there are behaviors before 2018. Right? That's when we're talking about the timeline, we know that Pierce was born on February 28th of 2019. About a week prior to that, per Ronan's own testimony, a room was built in the garage in Arizona. Before that, while Tracy was pregnant with Pierce, a latch was put on his door in Arizona. So that has to be late 2018, early 2019. Prior to that time, Dr. Rapa testified about records that she reviewed from 2015, elementary school emails, about ongoing and persistent behavior. And I asked her, because look, I understand, and the state made light of it, but you know, stealing sprinkles or activities that are just considered childhood behaviors. It's very hard to distinguish what constitutes regular childhood behavior and what constitutes a disorder. And I asked Dr. Rapa that during her direct examination. And what she said is that it is the persistence of these behaviors, that despite there being consequences, despite there being boundaries, they continue and continue and continue. In cross-examination, Ronan admitted in great deal to his own behaviors, right? He admitted to harming other people. He admitted to offering his brother beer as an experiment. Sev DeBorzati testified that a time that they were visiting an Airbnb in Sedona, Ronan was found with knives in his backpack. And the cross-examination on that was, well, did he threaten you with a knife? Did he use a knife? An 11-year-old shouldn't have knives in their backpack. Right? That's everyone's common sense. That as a young child, there are certain things, certain boundaries that you cannot cross because you're a kid. Ronan admitted to stealing from his own home, stealing from the parents of some of his friends. He admits to running away. He admitted to breaking into his tablet at his last school in Arizona and searching violent terms that concerned his parents, and that was the reason why he had to get his technology taken away. Kellen McCoy, who was a teacher of Ronan's, testified about an incident that he had with his sister. And in cross-examination, the state was asking Dr. Rapa about these sort of specific incidents, trying to minimize them or showing that, you know, any one act is no big deal. And that's with any kid, right? Any one act that a child does out of being a kid or immaturity is never a big deal. But it's when it continues and doesn't stop over and over and over again, and when it escalates and when it becomes persistent, and when in this case you have a neuropsychological exam that supports that it becomes a disorder and something that is that is problematic to the child, to the parents, and to everybody that he's around. So Kellen McCoy testified about an incident where Ronan entered his sister's classroom, had her stand up, and humiliated her in front of the entire class. And during cross-examination, I recall Ms. Coakley saying something to Dr. Rapa, and Dr. Rapa was like, no, but it seems small, but that's not the case. And Ms. Coakley interrupted her at that time. But you have to think about the steps it takes, right, to decide to go to an entirely different part of the school. That's what Ronan testified to. Pretend to be another person. Decide to point out your sister. Go to that classroom. Have the courage to come up with this entire story. That is something that gets to the level of being manipulative. And those are the concerns that were happening with Ronan throughout his life. And that's corroborated per Dr. Rapa prior to 2018. Through records that she reviewed, through Ronan's own deposition that she reviewed, through, I think she listed off 25 items or 26 items that she reviewed in coming to her opinion. Dr. Rapa also testified how when you have a lack of trust in a parent-child relationship, and I guess you can rely on your common sense for this, but when you have a kid, right, and they're growing up, you rely on trust. But we rely on that in any relationship that we have, that what we see is what we get. Right? That what we expect when someone says, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this, that they actually follow through with that. And that relationship of trust is really important between a parent and a child. And when it is broken, Dr. Rapa said that the response that a parent has, the natural response, is to control. Right? And we see that in our everyday lives. If you have a kid who's out, you know, joyriding, you don't get the car. Right? If you are someone who is fighting at school, you're going to be in a timeout. You see in this case that it is taken to an extreme, but it is also in response to an extreme, because that kid joyriding who doesn't get their car stops. Most people's children stop when they say, you can't do this anymore. I'm going to take away your items. I'm going to put you in a timeout for a reasonable amount of time. I'm going to ask that you stop doing it. I'm going to ask that you not, you know, hurt people at school. I keep getting emails from school about how your violence is becoming a problem. I need you to stop doing that. Eventually, kids stop. But Ronan didn't. It persisted over and over and over again for years. I want to show you a video of how Tim Ferriter responded to Ronan.
To the next step. So if you don't give a shit and you want to run away, see how that takes you. I'm not chasing you this time. See how it goes. If you want, should I put this ankle thing back on you? Because I kind of need to know where you're at just so you don't, you know, get hurt yourself, because you have no fucking idea what's out there. You think you do. All 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, these kids you're around, you might think you know what's going on in the world, but you don't quite know. Give it a try. Go ahead. And I gotta put the ankle bracelet on you, because I'm responsible. And when I say I'm not giving up, I'm not quitting, you got me forever. So deal with that. But if you want to go throw your shit away, if you want to ruin your life, if you want to destroy this shit, I'm not going through this again and again and again. I'm not time for this shit. I got to deal with NOLA to the next step.
You can hear Tim Ferriter, as Rapa said, in the worst tone ever sometimes, attempting to parent, right? And it is not perfect. I don't think any parents, you know, would say that their parenting is perfect or even great in retrospect. But what he's telling him is, if you keep running away, I'm going to have to put a monitor on you. And of course, that sounds like an extreme thing to do. But what he tells him is, you're 14 years old. You don't know what's out there in the world. I have to keep you safe, because if you keep running away on the street in the middle of the night or during the day, you're going to get hurt. Someone is going to harm you, and I am your parent, and I have to keep you safe. And it got to the point where they're talking about putting a monitor on him. That's how often this was happening. And no parent can allow their child to run on the street. Right? No parent can allow their child to be lost and not go find them. So he's telling him, you have to stop. He's telling him, there is a big world out there and you don't know about it. And I know you think you do, kid, because you're smart, right? You're able to trick people. You're able to convince them that your name's Richard, I think came out in a video. But it is a big world out there. And there are people that could harm you. Tim Ferriter was trying to raise a child who could make it when he's older without having a criminal record, without having a million issues at school, graduating without getting kicked out, because we saw in the videos that he got kicked out of his last school in Arizona, and with positive social skills. If you are hiding knives and pretending to be people that you are not, and stealing money from your friend's parents, and bringing a scalpel to school, and getting into fights so often that your elementary school is sending emails in the fourth grade, when you are 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, what are you going to be doing when you were 20 years old? And another point I want to make is this idea, when we talk about malice and intent, that this was something that Tim and Tracy Farriter enjoyed, right? The benefit of your kids growing up, right? I have a bunch of friends with toddlers. They're just hypervigilant all the time. They have to watch every minute of what that kid does because they're going to get hurt. They're going to put their hands in the socket. They're going to, right? That's that life. And as a parent gets older, that goes away a little bit. You can go out to dinner. You can grab a cup of coffee on a Sunday morning. Tracy Farriter is watching Ronan's laptop, and for a reason, because he has broken into numerous school laptops and hacked into his entire school's IT system. And she says, I need you to do your homework so that I can see it on the camera. This is not fun for them. Waking up in the middle of the night to see if your kid stole an iPad from his sister is not enjoyable for a parent. Staying up in the middle of the night to make sure that your kid isn't doing something they're not supposed to do, keeping that kind of hypervigilance year after year after year for almost a decade, is not something that a parent wishes to do. But they had to keep this type of monitoring on Ronan. And they did. And they did it without getting him arrested. They did it without sending him away. They did it without ending the adoption. There was always a reason, if you go through the videos, and there's a lot of them. I know you watched many of them. If you watch all the videos from inside that room, and I know we watched about 8 hours of it together, you can hear Tim telling Ronan every single time he's in trouble. You did the Chromebook again, right? You can't break into the Chromebook. There was a time, and Ronan admitted to it on cross-examination, where he went into the school, he went into a different teacher's classroom and said that he was evaluating the teacher with the school board. You can hear Tim say that. This idea that it is gratuitous, Ronan even says, discipline to you was always in response to something that you did. And Ronan said yes, whether that was a timeout, whether that was getting yelled at, whether that was getting in trouble, it was always in response to something. And I'll concede what Dr. Rappa said, that the tone was not appropriate and the strategy was not appropriate. That is not in dispute here. But to say that it wasn't reasonable to Tim Farriter, who had a reason every time it was happening, that is inaccurate. When he talks about the AC, Ronan admitted in his cross-examination, it was right at the end of my cross-examination, I asked him about when he almost started an electrical fire at the home in Arizona, right? And he talked about how he was playing with the lights and tried to mess with the light switch, and he initially said, it wasn't going to be a fire because I would know how to fix that. And I said, that could really hurt somebody. And he said, yeah. So he's not allowed to touch electrical items or, you know, equipment in his room. You can hear when Tim is talking about specifics. We talked about that. So I want to talk now about what you experienced during this trial versus what the Farriters experienced over the course of time. So this trial, right, is really talking about not just what Ronan went through, but also a parenting relationship anytime a kid, something's happening to a kid by a parent, there's a relationship there, right? A parenting relationship that spans time. And what you saw was over about a week and a half. I know it feels like forever, but it was about a week and a half. And when you saw Ronan testify, it was about 2 hours. That is not what you are seeing in those videos that the state played. What you are seeing in the videos the state played is after year one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 of ongoing issues. And you are
sustained.
And you are.
Jury's instructed to disregard the last comments of counsel.
And what you are seeing is a family at their wit's end. There's no doubt about that. And I don't know a single parent. Take away a child, take away all the variables, a child with behavioral issues or a diagnosis or even just, you know, sort of benign behavioral issues. A parent and a 14-year-old or a 13-year-old, a preteen. I don't know a single parent who would want their worst couple months, their worst year with their relationship with their kid filmed on camera for everyone to see. Without any context, without any understanding of what was going on the years prior, without any understanding of who they are.
Sustained. Jury is instructed to disregard counsel's comment on her belief on the evidence.
We talked about whether or not this was in fact malicious punishment. And both Wade Myers and Dr. Rapa testified about that. And they testified in a different manner. Here's what I want to remind you about Wade Myers. The information that Wade Myers had was curated by the state and provided to him in the same way that we provided information to Dr. Rapa. But what he said is that he received 40 videos. Of the 21,000 that exist in evidence, he received 40 videos of the 8 hours that you watched of the state's evidence and the 3 hours that you watched of the 14-hour video that the defense put in evidence. That is not an entire picture of what happened in this family. In fact, if I remember correctly, when my colleague on cross-examination said, "Are you aware that there are 21,000 videos in this case?" Wade Myers' face visibly was like, "Oh, I didn't know that." So his opinions are based on a limited set of information, acknowledging that he may not have the entire picture of what was going on in this family. Dr. Rapa testified that she didn't believe that this was malicious. And you can evaluate the credibility of any expert the way that you want. Dr. Rapa, compared to Wade Myers, testified on cross-examination in a manner that was very honest and not in any way
sustained.
And not
it'll be up to the jury to determine credibility.
She didn't fight with the state in the way that Wade Myers did, the way that Wade Myers did with the defense. And she admitted to everything as it relates to the harm caused, the fact that this is an inappropriate way to handle a child. That is something that Dr. Rapa said was absolutely true, right? So when she's looking at all this information, she's telling you that the reason it's not malicious is because this was a poor effort at parenting a child that has issues that these parents did not understand and that providers did not give them. She said that it's common in mental health types of situations for families, parents, to get really, really frustrated because they are, Ronan's on clonidine, that's not working, this isn't working for sleep. They're getting advice about limit setting, that's not working. They're getting advice about take him to therapy sometimes. The one-on-one therapy that he had with family counseling wasn't working. It's not changing the behavior in the school. And that's happening year after year after year. And Dr. Rapa said that it's really common in her field, and she's worked with a lot of children who have similar issues to Ronan and a lot of parents in these types of situations as well. And it's very normal to feel extremely frustrated with the mental health system, right? Because you keep doing stuff, you keep taking them to the appointments, you keep, and nothing is helping. And not one of these doctors recommended inpatient treatment. Not one of these doctors recommended what Dr. Rappa said would be appropriate treatments for reactive attachment disorder. So they're following the advice that they are receiving, and nothing is helping. When I was talking to Ronan in cross-examination, he had to be reminded of this. But he said that he was going in Arizona to appointments about once a week, so many that he didn't remember who the providers were. So this idea that they didn't try is not true. Ronan himself has said that he was going and seeing people once a week. Both experts testified that there were emails between the schools and the parents talking about Ronan's behavior, trying to figure out how to deal with it. Ms. McCoy, the former teacher, testified that after the incident with Nola in the classroom, Tim came with Ronan separately and Tracy went with Nola in order to try and talk to the teacher and figure out what was going on. The idea that these parents were not involved and not trying is distant from the facts. There were also non-medical efforts, and I know that it sounds silly, the meditation, but this is a family that from when this child was a kid was like, okay, what are the non-medical options that we can try? What can we do to burn off his energy? What if we don't give him sugar? Maybe that'll help. What if we don't, put him in karate, jiu-jitsu, put him in these activities like track, what he did in Arizona. He did chess club. In one of the videos, you can hear Tim say, Ronan didn't get it because he stole an iPod or an iTouch, but he said, I was going to get you that gaming computer that you really like because this kid is really good at IT, at gaming, at that kind of stuff. So they're trying to get him into activities that they think will help his behavior because none of the medical interventions were doing it. The state mentioned in their closing argument that after 2019, there was no evidence of any medical treatment. That's not true. When the state was asking Dr. Rappa the same thing, she said, I think there were some appointments with Kenny Miller, and when they started school in Florida right before Christmas of 2021, there's a record that shows that they went to a pediatrician like you're supposed to go to, and that they asked for a referral for a psychiatrist, right? And you can use your common sense here. That's not something that happens overnight in any doctor type of situation. You have to get a referral for psychiatric care. I want to go now to points 3 and 4 that I had in that sort of initial slide or roadmap. So I want to talk about with you Ronan's sort of life at home. And this goes to the elements that this was not torture, which goes to the aggravated child abuse, and that it was not malicious punishment, which also applies to the aggravated child abuse. Where Ronan lived, whether it is appealing or not, is a room. And I want to show you, this is Defense Exhibit 2. When Ronan moved into his room, this is what it looked like. And you can see the girls' rooms. The photos aren't great, but this is not in size that different from what the girls' rooms are. It's an 8x8, which is about the size of a small room. He has his toys, he has his Legos, he has everything on the walls. This is how the room started. The room itself for Ronan was not punishment. It was his room. And if you look at the videos in State's Exhibit, I think it was 16, you can see Ronan doing things in his room that have nothing to do with being in trouble. He is, there's one video where he's FaceTiming a friend and showing them his room to show kind of where he lived. He's playing games. He's playing with Legos. There's a video in there where Pierce comes in and tries to play Legos with him, and he says, no, I want to play alone right now. Ronan also testified that that room was not always locked. It was locked in the evenings when he was asleep, and it was locked if he was in a timeout. The state also mentioned that, you know, this narrative that this was a secret. The Ferreters hired a contractor to build this room. It was not privately done by them. They also had the garage door open for much of the videos that you watched yesterday, where Ronan was coming in and out. And so this is not some sort of secret. The teachers knew. There's emails back and forth about Ronan's behavioral issues. The fact that Ronan had restrictions that other kids did not have or that his siblings did not have was not a secret.
Sustained.
The state's expert characterized, and the state's been characterizing this room as a cell or a box. And I showed you this photo. It's a room with a desk and a bed and toys, and it has stuff on the walls until Ronan took them out or they were taken away from him because he was in trouble. I want to talk to you about the bucket that was placed in the room. Tim says to Ronan in one of the videos that you watched on, it was one of the videos that the state presented, so it was a couple days ago, it was last week. I don't want you to use it. Call us so that you're not using it. Throughout that 6-week period of time, it is used 2 to 3 times in total. What it is not is deprivation of a bathroom. It is a terrible solution to wanting to make sure that Ronan in the middle of the night cannot get out of his room. Because as you heard Tim Ferreter say in the videos, he is running away. So much so that he needs to place a monitor on him so that he is not running away in the middle of the night, telling people that he's someone he's not, and putting himself in danger. You can see in the videos of the sort of timeouts that Ronan's in, and you can always tell because they're always like, do you still have a bad attitude, or you don't get your Chromebook for this. You can tell in the videos what's going on that day with the family. And they come in every 15 to 30 minutes, and you can see those in the videos, and they say, do you still have a bad attitude? There's one video where Tim actually lets Ronan out of the timeout because he says, you know what, I feel, you know, I'm not in trouble anymore. So this is on January 23rd at 7:10 p.m.
Okay, Rashawn. So did you get mad when she checked your pockets?
No.
So don't get right into that because you earned that. Okay?
It's a nail there. It's on the ground there. Not to lie down.
So throughout the videos, you'll see this happen, that they're checking in on him. They're saying, okay, are you still going to act out if we let you out of the room? And that happens to children all the time when they're in a timeout, that they have to act appropriately. They have to come out without a bad attitude. And it's never because, as the state represented, that it's just a bad attitude. If you go through the videos, you will see that there are exact incidents: stealing a Chromebook, pretending to be somebody you're not, you know, causing an issue at school that it's about. I want to talk a little bit about the actual time that Ronan spent in his room. It's the state's duty to present you with evidence so you can determine what the truth is in any given case. And we talked about in jury selection how the defense can sit there the whole time and not do anything, right? We did not do that, but it's not the burden on the defense. We don't have to cross-examine anybody. We don't have to put on any evidence. We don't have to put on any witnesses. If that had happened, you would have left the long weekend only with the videos that the state presented you, which was 8 hours of Ronan only in his room and only getting in trouble. It was not until the defense put on a case that any context was provided to what was going on in this home in a daily basis. It is their obligation to present you with all the facts or the relevant facts.
Sustained.
It is their obligation to present you with...
The objection is sustained. It's not the state's burden to present with all the facts. It's the state's burden to present all the relevant facts material to the case that's being decided by the jury. You may continue, Ms. Murad.
And what is material in this case is all of the evidence of what was happening on a day-by-day type of basis. And what the state said in their closing is that, yes, of course, there were occasional times when he was out, and that doesn't negate any sort of abuse that happened. In a case like this, the reason that it is essential is because it allows you to understand the context of the relationship between this father and this son. Their expert, using only the 40 videos that they provided, testified that every time Ronan was around Tim Ferriter, you would see him tense up and be in fear. And when he was in trouble, that was in fact the case, like any child. But when he was eating freely in the home, or watching football with his dad, or doing yard work that all the kids were doing when they were putting up the different tiki torches, he wasn't acting like that around his dad. Because that is not a constant state in this family. It is not a constant state for Ronan, and it is not a constant state for Tim Ferriter. There are other things that happen during the day. And we went through the videos and tried to provide, let me see. Sort of a breakdown of the time that Ronan actually spent sleeping in his room and not in his room. And what you can see is that 43% of the time is spent sleeping. There's one time that they come in the middle of the night, you can see it in the videos, and wake him up to look at his room, and that's on a day that there was a stolen eye touch. I'll show you that. And there are 2 to 3 times that he wakes up to use the bathroom. Other than that, he spends the vast majority sleeping at night. The time that he spends in his room, not asleep, changes over time, depending on if he's in trouble, if he's in a timeout, but that's about a quarter of his day. And the rest of it he spends at school, at home, playing with his friends, doing chess club, and all the other things that kids do. And so I want to go back to this video that the state presented of him being locked out. So the state alleged that Ronan was locked out of his home in Jupiter, and they showed you one video. That is, in fact, not the case. And so the first video is what the state admitted into evidence from January 22nd at 12:19 p.m. Admitted as Defense Exhibit 18, and that's available for you. You'll get all the exhibits at the end of the day. The other videos that give context to this one. Because what was actually happening is that Ronan was gardening with his dad from about 9:30 in the morning.
Sustained.
It's in the videos that you can see that are admitted as Defense Exhibit 18. And his father actually brings him water in those videos that are admitted in evidence, and you can see for yourself.
Let me have counsel approach, please.
There's more to come.
Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Press subscribe now.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.